Now, tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about incredible stories that have affected people. Perhaps they've affected you as well when you hear some of these stories. We're going to be talking about your inner GPS. Follow your internal guidance to happiness, health, and satisfaction. How does it happen? Why does it happen? In a moment, Zen Crier DeBrook joins us to talk about your inner GPS on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Zen Crier DeBrook is a tested and trained intuitive with a very strong background in her business. Her clients include executives in some of the fastest growing companies in the world. Her research in how humans receive extrasensory information led her to uncover some very powerful internal guidance systems that every person on the planet was born with. And by turning into this guidance, the solutions to many of your problems, the world's problems, are right at our fingertips, she says. Zen Crier DeBrook back on Coast to Coast. It's been about 6 years when my old colleague Ian Punnett chatted with you, Zen, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I'm a longtime fan and listener of Coast to Coast. It's great to be on with you, George.
Hey, tell us a little bit about you and how you got into this. This is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was very interested in, I was an intuitive when I was born intuitive, and I've been very interested in intuitive information and extrasensory perception. And about 1993, I got a hold of a cassette tape from Esther Hicks. Are you familiar with Esther
Hicks? Esther Hicks? I do not know.
she's a person who is a channel, and she brings in information from a soul group called Abraham. And the interesting thing is she talked about the internal guidance system on this tape. It's this factory-installed guidance system that we all have, and it's what it does is it expands and contracts based on what we're thinking. When we're thinking something that's in alignment and on our purpose, it expands, and we're thinking something out of alignment and out of our purpose, it contracts. And it physically is something we can feel between our throat and our upper solar plex area. And I was so intrigued by this that I have spent my life on my own at first and then later teaching thousands of people how to tune into this. I've created a system on how to tune into this, and its information and what's happening is pretty profound.
Is it difficult for most people, even though we all have this ability, is it difficult for most people to tap into this, or is it easy?
We're all already tapping into it. That's the key. When the contraction, we've actually labeled stress, worry, fear, overwhelm, anxiety. When we feel these things, each and every one of us, we're actually getting guidance that what we're thinking is not true, not going to happen, and leading us towards disharmony, leading us towards discord in our lives. And so it's interesting because it's actually kind of counterintuitive. We usually get this gut feeling inside, this sick feeling in the pit of our stomach, or
that's
a lump
right.
in our throat, or a tightening in our chest, and we think, oh, that I feel bad about that person, or this situation, and it's actually the opposite. It's what you're thinking is off. And so it's not difficult to tune into, but understanding its messages at first can be counterintuitive.
You know, I've been saying, Zen, on this program for the last 2 years that I sense, I feel intuitively that something of some kind of major significance is going to happen. Now, I don't know exactly what that was. Yet, after this latest episode in Orlando, where we now have the largest mass murder in U.S. history, I'm beginning to wonder if that might be it. Now, on this planet, there's always a catastrophe. Something is always happening. So one could deduce, George, eventually you're going to hit something. But it was a strange, uncomfortable feeling. And I wasn't alone, Zen, in this feeling. I think somehow we're all tapped into something together, aren't we?
I believe that we are. I think that in fact, that's one of the things that is profound about this work is the more people I teach, the easier it becomes for people to learn it. And now it's becoming so easy for people to learn it. It's mind-blowing. Where at first, 15 years ago, it was really difficult. And I have to agree with you. I've had the same feeling. For me, it's been about 6 months now that I feel a turning of a tide
yes.
happening. It's a calmed knowing that there is something that is arising, and I don't feel fearful about it, but I am wary, and I'm interested to see what is going to happen, to be honest, because there's a lot of things going on right now.
You call your work your inner GPS, so let's talk a little bit about that. Tell me about the title.
Well, It is like a factory-installed guidance GPS system for your car. And the thing is that it has information on our lives, each and every one of us. It's tuned to each person personally. And it has information that you just couldn't know, that I just couldn't know. I can give you an example, and I'd love to actually do a little exercise in a bit to share with your
sure.
listeners
test,
exactly how
test
to feel
me.
It.
Test yeah. me if you want.
I would love to.
All right.
But, you know, it's got this information that we don't have. An example of that is there was this one time we were in the Denver airport, and the airport shut down, and they asked us all to leave. They said it was going to be, there was, the weather was too bad. There weren't going to be any flights coming in and out. And as we were leaving from the terminal we were in, before we even got on the shuttle, and the Denver airport, I don't know if you've been there, I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah, I'm there every month.
It's out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yep, way out there. And weird weather blows in and blows out.
Exactly. So they shut the airport down. As we're leaving, we felt closed, like when we're thinking about getting our hotel, and I'll give an example and explain this. And I looked at my friend, and I said, are you closed at leaving the airport? And he said, yeah, actually I am. And I said, well, hold the thought of staying in the airport. And I did too, and we opened. So we went back to our gate, and the woman there was like, what are you doing back here? We're closing. There's going to be nobody here. You know, they kind of shut all the services down when they have weather like this come through. And I said, well, I got this internal guidance system. And needless to say, after them telling us several times, we just kept sitting there, and about 4.5 hours later, in walks a flight crew. And the weather had cleared, and they had to get this plane from where we were to San Francisco, which just happened to be where we were going. And they checked us in, and we were the only two people on that flight heading to San Francisco.
See? It works.
It does work. So where did the information come from? How did it know that this was going to happen? How did it, you know, be able to know that that chain of events was going to occur for us? That's the quandary of this, is that it does that time and time again. For many, 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 many thousands of people over time have reported this crazy information that it knows that we just can't possibly know.
Could you say, Zen, that this is synchronicity?
Yeah, I think it lines us up with synchronicity. I do. I think that there is, and, you know, and I'm just guessing at this because I've been researching it forever, but yet it's so elusive as far as, like, what was really going on in this universe, right? But it does feel as if it syncs you up. It brings you into alignment with synchronicity. And the more that you follow this opening sensation I'm talking about, the more you get into alignment with this magical, it's almost like magic is the norm. Miracles are the norm, is what it feels like.
Okay, with this inner GPS device, can anything ever go awry, go wrong with it?
I haven't really found it to go wrong. Our minds are very complex, and it is reading our thoughts. And I don't know about you, but my mind is pretty crazy at times. So what can happen is, we're going down a course of following these opening sensations and moving our trajectory. And then our mind will say, oh, this is going to happen. And as we're bebopping along, that doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, we may feel as if the guidance has been wrong. What I have found is if you just keep going and wait a little bit longer, you'll find that, oh, wow, it did happen. It just didn't happen in the way that I thought. So an example of that would be going to a business meeting, which has happened to me, and having this thought, opening to go, and having this thought, oh, I'm just going to have this great business connection that's going to happen and get this business deal out of it. The meeting goes great, but nothing comes of it. And I go, oh, well, how did that happen? And then 3 months later, I'll be at a cocktail party, and there's the person who interviewed me, and they introduce me to the person that brings me into this wonderful business arrangement that turned out to be as wonderful as I had originally imagined and opened to.
You've got some exercises. We'll get into those. I want people to learn how to do this. But you do believe we were born with this. Do you think animals have the same thing?
Yes, I do. In fact, I think we disconnected from this in order to develop our mind, and that animals and nature is already operating into this expansion and contraction experience, and that we, now that we've developed our mind to this particular point, are being asked to step back into this way of navigating to come back into alignment. But yes, I do. I believe that they're very in tune to this.
I think you may be right, and you may be onto something as well. Now, can anything ever go awry with this?
Not that I've seen. When you use it in the way that I discuss, for instance, in my book, or the way I train people to use it, then I have not seen anyone who's used it accurately or correctly have anything go awry. I can't vouch for somebody who's heard about it once and then gone off on their own to try and figure it out. I know the first 8 years that I was figuring this out by myself in my own life were pretty challenging. Once again, because my mind was challenging, I had to unravel a lot of mysteries of how my own mind worked and my thinking works and the stories and patterns that it makes up. But no, I haven't seen anything go awry with it with my students.
And you train a lot of people,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes, I do, Tom.
What do they want to learn? What do they want?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people come in because their lives are not going well and they're unhappy. They feel purposeless. And they want to have a meaning. They want to matter, you know, and they just can't seem to find that in their lives. Another group of people that come in are often very spiritual. The Christian or Jewish or other religions, they come in because they want a closer connection to something deeper and wiser. There does seem to be a connection to a divine source that's very intimate and paying personal attention to each individual. So when you tap into this, there's a sense of not being alone. There's a sense that you're being watched over in a very beautiful, gentle way. Most people that come in, they're wanting something deeper and more meaningful in their lives and richer. They want to know there's a spiritual connection for them in the world.
Are they finding it?
Yes. Yes. In fact, it's been quite beautiful to have people. I don't generally talk about this, actually, George, but what I find is that most people, after a period of time, they report to me, they come back, and they go, I just don't feel alone anymore, and there's this way in which my mind is just a tool and there's something deeper. I'm observing my mind and I'm tapped into something that's wiser, there's more discernment. Yeah, they really do. They repeatedly report this rich relationship with a new sense of divinity.
How did you come across this?
Well, I actually originally had come across it through this cassette tape with Esther Hicks talking about it. But it was interesting because I couldn't find...
I mean, were you looking for it, or did you stumble into it?
I stumbled into it, but I was looking for it in an offhanded way. So I had noticed that in my life, whenever I felt this tightness and the sick feeling in the pit of my stomach and this tightening in my chest, that I was in a situation where I was about to make bad choices. And I don't mean like, I'm in a dark alley doing drugs. I mean, like, I'm at work, and my boss is really being rude or something, and I'm getting very upset inside, and I would do or say something that would get me into trouble.
Right. You might get fired for saying something.
Get fired, or have my shifts cut, or something would happen. And I kept trying to find new ways to deal with that tight sensation in my body, because I knew, I was like, okay, here's that feeling again, and whenever I have this feeling, I'm going to do something stupid, and I just can't seem to not do something stupid. And I was playing with trying to not make those choices. And it just never quite worked out, no matter how hard I tried. So when I heard on that cassette about this constriction, and it means that you're moving off course, you're going to a place of disharmony, I realized it was like, oh my gosh, I was trying to change the outside world, the outside situation I was in, trying to fix it, trying to change it, trying to make it different, control it. And really what I needed to change was my thoughts. The way I was thinking about the situation was creating the feeling in my body. And when I got that and started playing with it, I soon began to realize that by changing my thinking, I would get this open feeling, and I knew the right course of action, and my life began to work out. Things got a whole lot easier. I didn't have those self-sabotaging moments anymore. And that was really what attracted it to me in the beginning, was I was trying to find a way to do my life differently and be more successful at it.
All right, now give us an exercise, and then we'll talk about examples on how people can use this. And after we come back after the break, I want you to tell us some more stories of how this has worked. And then in our final hour, we'll take phone calls from people who may want to share their own experiences, or they just have a question for you. But walk us through an exercise here.
Okay, great. So for those of you who are driving, I know a lot of Coast to Coast listeners are driving.
Many, many. Or they're in bed.
You can still do this. I recommend the best way to do this is with your feet on the floor and your hands in your lap and to close your eyes. But don't close your eyes if you're driving. And you can just do this in bed. You don't have to sit up. And so what I recommend is you just feel the bottom of your feet. Just put your awareness on the bottom of your feet. It can be easier if you're sitting up with your feet on the floor. You might feel a little warmth or tingling that's coming in there. And then next, bring your awareness to the palms of your hands. once again, you might feel a little tingling or warmth there as you just become aware of them. And then listen to the room around you. Now, your internal guidance system is in your body. So bring your awareness, if you can, to your feet, your hands, and the listening of to the room around you at the same time. You'll hear my voice as well as a few other sounds. I'm going to give two sentences. Just relax and feel those three points. And let it float through your mind like a cloud would through the sky. And here's the first sentence. I do not have an internal guidance system. Notice any sensation between your throat and your upper solar plex area. I do not have an internal guidance system, any sensation at all. Okay, bring your awareness back to your feet, your hands, your listening, and here's the second sentence. I do have an internal guidance system. Once again, any sensation between your throat and your solar plex area. I do have an internal guidance system. Any sensation. All right, now I wiggle your toes, open your eyes, take a breath. So, George, what was your experience?
Okay, so now tell me, though, does this lock it in or do you do this every night?
You don't do this every night. It's already happening. What I'll do is I will share the first opening practice that I do with people after this when we get back from the break, so I can like lead you through how to get started using this. You don't have to do it in at all. I mean, I just want to get you noticing that it reacts to your thoughts. And what was your initial experience?
So you're like programming us, though.
No, no, I'm just showing you something that already exists for you. Everybody already has it. It's already working, like I said. So what was the first sensation?
Well, let's assuming I didn't have it, but I think I do.
Uh-huh.
So my question to you is do you reprogram someone who is intuitive and has this GPS system already within themselves and uses it?
So what I don't reprogram them. I get them in touch with it and have them begin to use it for themselves so that they know so they can feel that this is what's going on for them. So like the first sentence, what most people report is that there's a wilting feeling or a tightening in the pit of their stomachs or a tightening in the chest.
And a relaxing feeling, too.
Yeah, and then there's a lump in the throat. That's closing. I call that closing. And then when I say you do have an internal guidance system, often people report that all that tightness goes away. There's a relaxation that happens. Some people say a warmth in the chest. They feel like they can breathe more or an upward V. I call that opening. So there's opening, and there's closing, and there's neutral. And all three are guidance. And this guidance operates kind of like the hot-cold game. Remember when you're a kid and you're blindfolded, right?
That's right.
Except it's in relationship to your thoughts. So what your internal guidance system in this expansion and contraction is, when you're having a thought that's taking you away, so let's say I'm about to snap at my boss, like we said earlier in the conversation. I'm getting really frustrated, and I just want to tell him off, and I'm coming up with things in my head to say. I'll feel a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach and a tightness in my chest, which can feel like frustration. It can feel like overwhelm, right? But really what that is guidance. My guidance is saying, don't do that. That's not going to get you anywhere. Those thoughts are not going to take you anywhere. And then as I move my thoughts, I'm like, oh, that closes me. That means I shouldn't do that. That's not true for me. As I move my thoughts towards, I should let it go, they've had a bad day, I'll talk to them about it tomorrow, ooh, I opened up more. Maybe there's something here that I do need to be going different. They're not just riding me. It's something I actually is important for me to do differently. Ooh, I'm relaxing more. I'm opening more. Okay, I'll talk to them about it tomorrow, find out what I need to manage, and let them also know a better way to handle me is to not talk to me that way. But I can do that. That tomorrow's a better time. Ooh, I just opened more. Tomorrow's a better timing. And so it's really about training people how to use this inner compass within relationship with their thoughts. And what happens is you just happen to have these incredibly powerful experiences. This is a simple little tiny example of how to use it.
Is it physical or mental?
It's physical. The sensation is physical. And the wisdom is physical. It comes from within. Then you work with your mind. And it really transforms your mind into being a tool instead of your personality, more like or your ego, who you are. It's an interesting.
All right, hold on, Zen. We're going to come right back with you and talk more about how to turn this GPS system on next. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Zen Cryer DeBrook. The book is Your Inner GPS. Okay, Zen. So you basically taught everyone how to get it. How do you use it?
Very good question. Well, throughout your daily life, the number one way I recommend people start using it is just paying attention to when they're feeling stressed or angry, worried, fearful, that kind of thing, because that's closing information that we've relabeled. And you can use it for anything. I use it to plan my day, what I need to be getting done. If I write my list of things down that need to get done, and then I go through each one using that methodology I showed you, feeling your feet and your hands and listening and just checking in. Is this the most powerful thing for me to do today? Is this something I need to do today? Open, closed, or neutral. So you can use it that way. But then as you're moving through your life, I have people that use it to choose which vitamins they're going to be taking, to decide, you know, how to have conversations with their spouse, you know, looking in, like I did with the example a little bit earlier. You can play through a scenario of a conversation you want to have with your spouse, and you want to have the conversation when you feel this opening inside. The words you want to say, the tone you want to use, it should be opening. And what happens is when you have conversations, I call it into the opening, the other person receives you so beautifully. Even if this is totally different than emotions. This is a different system than your emotional system. So even if you're angry, you can still be open. You can still feel this sense of light openness inside, even though the emotion of anger is coming through you. In fact, it's a very powerful change agent when you're open and you're angry. And even if you have that going on, the person can still hear you so clearly, because what you're saying, there's a truth to it. And I think that's one of the most powerful things. You can use it in business to decide what to charge. I mean, there's so many ways to use this tool in our lives that works.
So when you start using it, can you use it for just about anything?
Yes.
Relationship, the job, lottery numbers, who knows what?
Yes, lottery numbers. It's all dependent on whether it's part of your purpose and path to win the lottery. And not everybody, it's not good for everybody to win the lottery. So lottery numbers are one thing that I've found that is a hit and miss thing. It depends on if you're supposed to win or not. But regardless of that, money still can come to you in magical ways. I have a client who got this, those class action lawsuits that they ask you to fill out a form and they
come
through the mail.
And sometimes you get $2.50.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's never filled one out before, and he was using his IGS, and he got this opening to fill it out. And he was like, okay. And lo and behold, a little while later, he got $20,000 showed up unexpectedly.
Wow.
In the mail. I know. Now everybody's going to fill out those class action lawsuits.
They either got a lot in or there weren't a lot of people in the class.
Exactly. It was this crazy amount. I was so surprised. Happened to be just over the exact amount that he wanted to clear out all of his debt. That was another thing. He had an open. So that's the other thing that's really powerful is I use it for the manifestation to create. I do believe we create our world around us. I just have too much evidence that our thoughts don't create our reality. They do. And in using this, it's one of the most powerful ways is lining up with what you want to have happen, and you keep looking at what you want to create, what you want to have, like, I can get out of debt, and I can get out of debt within this time period, and if it opens you, it's true. There's a path to that, and if you keep following the openings in the path of getting out of debt, for instance, it will lead you, with your thoughts and your actions, because our thoughts create our actions, right to the path of getting out of debt quickly. Finding a mate, someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, getting out of a relationship that you're not right for. I've worked with many, many people who are in relationships that weren't right for them, and they've had all this stress around staying in the relationship, and when they asked the question, is this really the right relationship for me, they got a closing, and they said, is this a relationship I should end, and they get this big, open release feeling, and it's the right thing to do is to leave the relationship. It's the right choice for both people.
Can this backfire, Zen, if you use it for purposes that you shouldn't use it for? I mean, it's all good to make some extra money. What if people use it to get greedy and things like that?
Well, I found that it's got its own little safety valve in it. It's very interesting. If you try to use it in a way that is counter to what it's for,
supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, you just get this closed feeling. You get this tight feeling. And the interesting thing is that it works kind of like a swinging compass. So if you picture true north, it's a very bright, big opening. You feel almost ecstatic. You know, people have these when they get these brilliant business ideas or they're on the track for something and they're like, oh, this is what I need to do. They can feel it. And then south, it would be the severe closing, feels like terror and panic. You know, the kind of thing where you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got this panic feeling going on and you're sick to your stomach and you're laying there in bed going, oh my God, what am I going to do?
A panic attack.
A panic attack, exactly. That is a deep closing. That means that what you're thinking is absolutely off track, not going to happen, not true. It's worthless to even be thinking it because it's not going to come true. And then west would be neutral, and it kind of swings based on how powerfully true or untrue the thought is that you're having. And so if you try to use it in a way that is harmful, you get closed, and you keep getting more and more and more deeply closed and more uncomfortable inside until you change your trajectory.
How many people use this Zen and they don't even know they're using it or have it, but they just are doing everything right, the techniques right, and things happen for them, but they don't know they're doing it?
A lot of people actually do. And they don't realize it, but they talk about it. For instance, and you'll see this. So, Oprah Winfrey, for instance, she talks about it all the time. Inner guidance, that's what she follows. It's this opening feeling. Richard Branson is another one that follows it. Elon Musk talks about it, and the way he talks about how he keeps the faith when things are looking really shaky. He's doing something that he's almost out of money, and it's at the end of his rope, and they still haven't had a breakthrough, but yet he can't let go because he just has this feeling inside. He just knows that it's going to work, and he needs to hang on. So there are people who I think it comes with the way we're raised as children and the way that we're taught to believe in ourselves, and the feedback that we're given, it kind of helps us to trust this part of ourselves. But there are actually quite a few people, they're very successful, they're doing very well in life, that just when I talk to them about it, they're like, yeah, that's how I make my decisions. They're like, doesn't everybody do that? And I'm like, no, there's a lot of people who don't know this and don't do this naturally. But yeah, it's a known quantity in successful circles.
Okay, let's get into some of the specifics of those examples that you'd given us earlier where you talked about the Denver airport. Give us a few more.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite ones is, and it seems kind of mundane in a way, but I was at home, and one of the things that I love about the internal guidance system is that it kind of puts you in a place to be a little miracle worker here and there when you need to be. I was at home, I was getting ready to travel. Long trip, lots to do, and I kept getting this thought of going down to Pete's and having a coffee, and it would open me. And I was like, I don't want coffee. I've got too much to do, and I just kept getting this nagging feeling like I should go get a cup of coffee, and it would open me. So finally, I was like, all right, I'm just going to go down there. So I went down to my local neighborhood, went down to Pete's, walk in, get my coffee. One of the things you'll find is that most people, when they start to use their internal guidance systems, they'll kind of argue with it at first. they'll try to go against it, and they'll argue with it. So I'm sitting in the coffee place. I have my coffee, and I'm like, okay, I got my coffee. I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, walking out the door, I closed. I was like, oh, I don't have time for this. So I just was like, okay, I'm supposed to stay here for a while, open. So I sat down, and this woman starts talking to me. I thought, oh, hey, that's why I'm here. I'm here to meet her. Closed. Okay, well, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden my girlfriend, who lives like almost an hour away, comes walking up. And she's kind of an interesting-looking girl. She's got white, and she's got these big, long dreadlocks, and she's kind of funky-looking in the way she dressed. Beautiful woman, but just has her own unique style. And I stand up, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing over here? And she starts telling me about how she is going to interview for the job that she went to school for. She got so inspired by this organization that she actually went and got a degree so that she would be qualified enough to go work with these at-risk youth children, and that she can't wait. She's been waiting for 5 years now to get through school to get to this position, and here's the day, and she's super excited. And the woman I was talking to at the counter turns around and looks at her and goes, I'm going to be interviewing you. Hi, and introduces herself, and the two of them sat down.
See, to me, that's also great synchronicity.
Yes, it is. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Synchronicity is the norm, and she got the job. Who knows if she had just walked into the office and not had the opportunity to gush like that, if she had, I don't know. But I do know that right after that, I felt like, take my seat. I felt open to go home. I made my plane. It didn't hurt my day at all, and yet I got to be a part of a little miracle. And I think that that's one of the beautiful things about this is the more you tune into it, the more you have these really rich moments where you just know that you matter and that you're a part of something bigger than you.
Zen, are we getting help, though, from the other side? I mean, are there, many people have called them spirit helpers and spirit guides. Are we getting help from them, or are we doing this all on our own?
I believe there is something else helping us, for sure. I know that in the situations that I've been in, that there's no way I could have come up with the solutions on my own. I do truly believe that we have help and that we can tune into it and that we can have it part of our lives, not as a like an accident, but as a normal daily part of our lives. And it doesn't have to be some big mystical experience. It's just this way of knowing things and of being open to it. And that's part of what this is, this internal guidance system. But I also know that there are other things out there that I've come in contact with, spirit guides and angels, that are really championing us down here.
Tell me about the story about your husband losing his sunglasses.
Oh, my gosh. That was a big test for me. We, once again, the Denver airport.
I mean, this will really prove that it works, right?
Yeah, seriously, because, yeah, it's very much so. Huh. We were in the Denver airport on our way down to Mexico, and we were in a huge fight. And I just said, fine, I'm not going with you. And I left, and I went back out the security all the way I was leaving. And he came back out, and he says, no, don't. Just come. I'll cool it.
He knows you better. You would have kept walking.
I would have. Mm-hmm. We get back through security a second time. We're loading onto the plane. He goes to look for his sunglasses, and he gets really furious. He's like, that's it. I'm so frustrated. I know it. I left my sunglasses at the security gate. It's the second time we went through. I just made me lose my glasses. I like, here we go again. We're going to fight all the way to Mexico. And he goes, no, I'm just telling. So I sat there and I was like checking in. I was like, are they at the security gate? Closed. Okay. Did he even bring them? Because we left at the house in dark. Open. Okay. Did we leave them? Did he lose them? Closed. Are they in the car? Open. We had loaned our car to our house sitter, so when we get to Mexico, I called him up, and I said, hey, will you go out and check and see if the sunglasses are in the car? So he checks, and he comes back, and he goes, no, they're not there. And I said, he says he's not there. They're not there. And I was like, well, he goes, well, then I guess I've lost them. I said, no, I'm open. I'm telling you, they're in the car. I cannot.
You could feel
nothing else happening. I can feel it. They're in the car. And so I called up the guy a couple days later because it was driving me crazy to go out, and nope, they're not in the car. So he comes to pick us up when we get home. I reach under the passenger seat and pull out my husband's sunglasses. And I was like, I knew it. I told you they were even under the front seat because I opened that they were under the front seat. And the guy goes, I put my hand under there. I didn't feel them. And I'm like, this is a test for me. This is for me to keep my faith about my work through 7 days of my husband saying, they're not there. We left them at the airport.
I'm in St. Louis then, and I spend time going back and forth. I got a big event coming up on Saturday, so I'm here. And at home, I have a little tiny tray that I keep my car keys in, and the duplicate set mm-hmm. of car keys are in. And there's also garage door openers and things like that. And a couple days ago, I couldn't find the second set of car keys. Huh. And these little things just drive me nuts because I like things to be in order and, you know, no mistakes. And so I'm saying, where are my backup car keys, for crying out loud? I looked again and again, and I'm looking, this tray is 5 inches by 5 inches, okay? It's not very big.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of things in there. And the only set of keys in there were just the one set I had. I couldn't find the second one. And today, something said to me, go look for those keys back in the tray. And I'm thinking to myself going, are you nuts, George? You've looked at it for the last 2 days. They're not there. I don't know if they were in a suit. You know, I've been doing some TV interviews here in St. Louis for the event. So, you know, I've been wearing a suit. So I'm wondering if I had the extra keys in my suit or something. I checked all those. Nothing. I go back to the tray, and there they are. Now, how do they materialize like that? And what compelled me to go back and look again after I looked for 2 days there?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure to be honest, but I've had those same experiences. I always wonder if it's a little gnome or does it just get lost in the space-time continuum for a few days. I'm not quite sure. But I do think that the hit to go and look on the tray again, that insight, I think that's intuition. It's different than the internal guidance system.
Is it? Okay.
Yep. Intuition is really about, there's gifts that I believe that everyone's born with, whether you choose to tap into them or you have the opportunity to, is one thing. But I think everyone has their own unique gifts, and they're all they're similar, but they're different. You can have empaths. I know you've interviewed many different people, psychics, clairvoyants, you know, kind of things, where they hear it, or they see pictures, or they can feel things, or they get knowing. And all of us have that. And some of it is like what you said. It's like you just get this. I get that same thing. I'll just hear something, like a little feeling, or get this little sense of the thought that comes in, like, stop backing up, and there'll be a dog behind my car, and I won't even be paying attention.
Yeah, or a child.
Or a child.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And you'll just get that. And I think that part of that's intuition that we each have, this little thing that comes in, especially with the work you do. I'm sure that you just get tuned into it because you're around it all the time. And also, I think it's also that higher self or that guide that I do believe that they come in and they'll stop us from doing something if we listen. Yeah, so I think they probably did that. Maybe they needed your keys for a few days.
But intuition and ISG, IGS or GPS, whatever you really call it,
yeah,
it's pretty similar, isn't it?
I don't believe it is, because I can teach someone to use their internal guidance system. This exact person, every single person, exactly the same. Everybody has it. It works the same way for every single individual. You can learn to use it. I can't do that with intuition. Intuition shows up different places. Some people get a feeling in their forehead or at the top of their head or their left toe. I mean, I've had all kinds of people tell me all kinds of crazy ways in which they get intuitive information. And it's really kind of different for everyone. I'm claircognizant, which means I have a deep sense of knowing, and I just get full pieces of information in. And I talk to other claircognizants, and they actually get it completely different than the way I do.
Can it backfire on you?
Intuition?
Well, I guess maybe not you, but I'm saying that in general. What if somebody doesn't believe it? Will it work? If they don't believe it,
yes.
Will it work for them?
Yes, it will. I mean, it's already happening. It's already working for everybody. Like I said, stress, worry, fear, anxiety, these sensations that we're having in our body on a daily basis for some of us, that is closing. It is guidance. We have it backwards. We think that stress is something because of the environment around us. And what I'm discovering, and research is proving it, is that stress comes from what we're thinking. And also that what I'm finding is what we're thinking is, this is what's interesting, in using the internal guidance system, we are reprogramming our minds. I'm working with neuroscientists right now, and this research is coming together around this brain plasticity. When you have an opening, when you move from a closing thought to an opening thought, you are leaving behind an old pattern in your brain, an old story, old belief systems, that when you moved into the opening, you create a new neural pathway. And as you step into that, you literally begin creating a new neural pathway in your brain towards that new thought.
All right. Well, you stay with us, and we're going to come back in just a moment and take some phone calls about this and chat more about your work, of course, your inner GPS. And why don't you share one of your stories with us, too, when you call in, how you've probably have used this and didn't even know you were. We'll be back.